Mike Bost on the other end of the line.
Literally, hey, Tom.
Literally boring. Nothing to do there in D.C. at all.
No, nothing
going on.
Quiet.
I didn't know if maybe somebody was standing out there on the by the ocean with the binoculars looking over in the international waters to see if they can see that Russian spy ship.
Or something. Yeah.
Hey, a lot to talk about, but the Russians really are top of the news. I mean, when I take the vibe from what I'm watching in the news and reading every day, what I hear in my head is the Russians are coming.
Right. Well, and that's just it. We've got about three fronts that we should have concern, actually four, not counting about the war on terror, but you've got Russia. You've got a president that they say, oh, well, he's too close to Putin. No, I don't know that he's close to Putin. However, sometimes you want to keep your enemies close just so they don't have the ability to stab you. Maybe that's where he's going with this. But you've got Russia. You've got the sabers of North Korea that are, you know, clanging and the rounds that they're firing off. And then you've got China, and you wonder where they're at. So the best thing I can say is you watch everything real closely while we try to deal with the domestic issues here as well. And the world's in turmoil.
Mike, has the media on items like Russia, has the media applied a double standard?
I think so. Here's the thing. I wish they would quit worrying. Whether it's the media or the extreme protesters and this, that, and the other, understand that the election's over. We have President Donald Trump, whether you voted for him or whether you didn't. Let's move forward. First, the thing we need to do is quit playing games with these appointments and get a cabinet that's full. He's had glitches with certain members, one in particular this week, but every president that's ever turned up a cabinet has had these similar problems. So let's get his cabinet in place. One of the best things I saw was the fact that Tom Price was put in with HHS. That is a great situation that he's there. Now we're moving forward with sensible modification to the health care system to allow the free market to work and allow for affordable health care, not just an assemblance of something.
Well, Mike, that's what I wanted to ask you about. I mean, yesterday, Humana says we're pulling out of the program Obamacare 2018. They also ended their merger agreement with Aetna. Anthem ended their merger agreement with Cigna, and already published reports saying the IRS quietly changed regulations on our tax forms for this year, and their information, I believe, on their website stating that if you on that tax line don't answer whether you have insurance or not, they're not going to bother with it.
Right. Well, that's going to be removed by law anyway, okay, just so you know. Let me also say this, that what you're seeing with these insurance companies is what we were saying in the first place. I understand that people want to make sure that whatever we do, that people don't lose their coverage, which we're working desperately hard to do that. However, if you just let Obamacare go the way it is collapsing from its own weight. Tom, in the northern part of my district, in the three most populated counties, St. Clair, Madison, and Monroe, there is only one provider. That one provider is having a 71% increase on the people that are on the system up there. That is unacceptable. People can't afford it. So if you can't afford the insurance, you're not going to have the insurance.
Right.
And so we have to come up. We do have the plan. It's a three-pronged system. The best way to describe around here is the three buckets. And one is the dealing with reconciliation to modify where we can. And those are what I'm talking about with the taxes and the penalties, reducing those, getting rid of those, and adjusting where we can that allows under the reconciliation. Then the real big issue is that the 1,500 page document that was the Affordable Health Care Act. One thing that the Democrats did when they created it, because they saw all of these problems that could happen, each page, except for 20 pages, I think, has the Secretary Shell or the Secretary May. That's where Tom Price is going to be able to work a tremendous amount of correction Let me also say the things that people are wanting to make sure of. They want to make sure that the kids, your children, can still keep on the coverage till 26. Everybody says each plan that we've got out there, that is the case. We still deal with we put the rules in so that we're able to deal with pre-existing conditions. That health coverage will be provided, and I think in the long run it will. No, I know the proposed plan that we're moving forward with will be very, very positive. And the thing is, we've got to move very quickly to get it in place. We will not jerk the rug out from underneath people, and before the new plan is in place. That's what people need to understand.
All right. So Senator Durbin, on two occasions, when I was speaking with him live here on this station, said that if we repeal the Obamacare, we roll back the Obamacare Act, that it will hit health care in Southern Illinois hard, and that a lot of people in health care will lose their jobs if we repeal Obamacare. And I don't understand how that can be the case.
I disagree with him. That's all I can tell you. I disagree with him. Also, remember, he has to be the voice of opposition. Look at his position, look where he's at, and understand he has to be the voice of opposition. Experts here that know and understand healthcare know that we must change, and if we don't change, we will lose our system. Understand, I'm in communication with our healthcare providers, with those people who are with the insurance companies. That we want the switch door to swing back open, that competition will come back in. And that providers will be available, and that no one will lose their coverage. That is the goal and the intent. But if we do nothing, this is going to collapse. It already is from its own weight.
Yeah.
And the thing is, those who designed it knew it was coming.
Yeah, but they're still telling us what to do, and those are the same decision makers I see screaming into the TV each afternoon. That often is part of my thing, because this is the thing. I can look out my window and see people driving to work right now, and nothing's changed for them. They still have to pay these exorbitant deals. And I can have somebody on the air saying, oh, well, you know, I'm in the pool just like everybody else. And that was said here. And I said, yeah, but you get underwriting a 76% on your cost, too.
Right.
So,
But here's the thing. Also, this is what you want to say. Some of the people that will tell you, well, I now have insurance, but do you have insurance you can use? There's a lot of people that had insurance they could use before, but now what they have is they have an extra high premium and an extra high deductible that unless they have a catastrophic illness, they really don't have insurance because they never meet the deductible.
Yeah.
And that's a reality.
But walking in the door is catastrophic now. I mean, I think I spent like a day and a half. I went to the emergency room, and it was $18,000.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Right.
So, which is why we've got to deal with the rising cost of health care as well, and deal with making some wise adjustments. You know, there's another thing in health care I want to mention. That there's a bill that we're moving forward with that I hope gets passed. And basically, they call it the Let's Try or I Try bill. That's the acronym. Basically, what it is if you are in a position where you are diagnosed with a cancer or some disease that is so severe that it's going to end your life. Then even if a drug may not be approved by the government, and it is believed that it could cure you, you can go ahead and in certain cases use that drug by your own choice, as long as you're given the warning signs.
Right.
And this is a new step that we're talking about allowing. Because, you know, when the FDA goes through their process, and God bless them, we do have that where we check them out. But quite often, the experimental stuff that occurs, you can't use it until many years, and people leave the country to use it. This is basically, in those extreme cases, allows the opportunity for the patient to make a decision with their doctor.
I think that's interesting.
I think it's a wise thing.
I really do. I think that's an interesting idea. But there's another issue, and that's, you know, these people like these pharmaceutical companies. You've got one here this naloxone or whatever it's used for heroin overdoses, mm-hmm. where the price went from $690 in 2014 to $4,500. There are other players in this game that are going to have to be, we're going to have to contain them somehow, because you and I both know $690 to a $4,500 increase. That
well,
there's something going
I,
on.
I can tell you another one that's similar to that situation where people have no choice but to pay it, and we have not allowed for the generic drugs, even though that people could have the generic drugs, and that's EpiPen.
Yeah.
I mean, and that people don't understand, you know, if you have a child or you yourself have an allergy and you have to carry that, well, they've got basically, because we haven't approved a generic type of EpiPen, EpiPen can run such a high cost, and they've got a monopoly on it. And so these are the type of things that we need to be wise about. And you know what? All of us, we don't have a problem with a company that drugs recouping their costs in a sensible manner, making money to pay their employees to do that. But whenever it becomes a clear abuse of that drug, and basically you're playing with people's lives, and you got to pay the piper to that level, that's wrong, and we've got to step in.
It's interesting, because I believe it's Walgreens has come out with a generic version, which is really going to undercut that big price, and that's how the market works sometimes too. But it just takes a little longer than that. Mike, I was reading a book. It was a piece of fiction last night, and you know, these big politicians are speaking among themselves, and one politician says, you know, they had had a falling out, and one politician looks at the other and says, "We can't hold grudges, because when you play at our level, grudges kill people."
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's one of those little conversations that you kind of know. I mean, you know it, but that's the level that you're playing in Washington, D.C., and
yeah.
Congress and President.
And
when you play at this level, personality, I mean, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis in her biography said, you know, when I'd come home, I'd ask Jack. Jack, how'd that go today? He said, well, you know, you just can't ever let it get it so bad that you don't want to talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
and you know, there's Matt Cato is a Christian writer, and he has a statement that I've kind of held on to, and that is conflict is inevitable, combat is optional.
Right.
So you can understand with the members that I work with, and the sad thing is the media shows only the combat. But you've got to realize that there's going to be conflict. The question is, do you drive it to the point of combat? I hope not. Because of that, I can agree and disagree. The sad thing is when you take your party line position over what is right and for betterment of government. And I think a good example of that is whenever, and the president did not give the name of the senator, but he was talking to a particular senator. He told the story, and that's whenever he didn't understand how this place works around here, unfortunately, at the time. And he told him how great one of his confirmees was, and how wonderful he was, and he was definitely going to be the best person for the job. And well, I guess he's talking about Sessions. And then all of a sudden he said, well, that's wonderful, so you're going to be voting for him. He said, oh, no, I can't vote for him.
Right.
No, politically, I can't do that.
Yeah. Well,
what?
Known you for 33 years. We don't have. I could. Senator Durbin said I could give his speech and he could give mine, but yeah. I went down and told him I wasn't vote for him. So, you know, the reason why I wanted to bring that up, Mike, is because you know which level you're playing on. I didn't want to insinuate mm-hmm. if anybody's picking up that I was insinuating. I know Mike didn't, because he knows me well enough. No, I'm looking talking yeah. about a philosophical yeah. level. But here's the thing, you just mentioned it on TV. We want in newspaper, whatever, you want the stuff that's going to splash and make a big color. Oh, look at that. Look what Nancy Pelosi just said. Just look what Donald Trump said. Just look what – and you take these little bits out. But the fact is there are a lot of people who are not on front of the in front of the TV cameras in Washington, D.C., who are doing a lot of things right now that are not widely reported. The Trump executive action where he sanctioned against the vice president of Venezuela. The action last week where he told the Justice Department to go out, find existing laws, and implement those to help protect law enforcement. There are a lot of things that are going on, but we only go to the stuff that has guts hanging out of it and a spray of arterial blood on the ceiling. There's functions going on by a lot of people.
But what you do realize, too, is we members that are here also know who the show horses are and who the workhorses are. And so we've got to continue to do the work, even whenever others are playing to the camera, whichever news media they want to play to. And we still have to do the work. And if you look at the accomplishments that have occurred, now, here's what's really wild about this, Tom. I got so many people saying, you know, we need to get this done. Can you get this done? Why haven't you got this done? Remember, this is only our sixth week since we were sworn in, and it's only the president's fourth week. But if you look at the accomplishments of so many things that we have done in a short period of time and the things that are already being worked on, we're moving at a rapid pace and getting a lot accomplished. Is that enough? No. We need to fulfill everything that we had promised that we were going to do, everything from getting the health care situation straightened out, securing the border, dealing with these foreign governments and dealing with ISIL and the issues there, reducing government regulation, which is amazing what we've already done. Matter of fact, yesterday, the president signed into law the stopping of the stream buffer rule that was an overreaching rule that the EPA had put in place that was and did not, it reduced the amount of ability that for a coal company to produce and miners as well as quarries to produce their product, but and it disguised itself that it was protecting streams, but it's not protecting streams. It's just stopping production. And these are the type of things we're getting rid of, and we're sending those to the president. He's signing them into law. And it's really been a very aggressive time. We're moving.
Wait a second, Mike. Mike, he signed the streams thing, streams rule out of the House
yesterday.
And you know what's interesting? Because I'm looking, and you know me well enough to know I'm looking all the time. And you know what? I just did a search where you're talking about because I was offended that I didn't know that. And so I'm kind of kicking myself in the butt, so I decided to go out and look. It's not being reported.
Yeah, it was signed last night.
I know, but it's not being reported. I'm looking at Trump signed stream rule EPA. I just did a Google search because I was mad at myself. And
Is it there?
No.
Okay, well, it was signed last night.
Yeah, I see Bloomberg night. Looks like stream protection rule declared almost dead now, what, 10 hours ago. Number one hit is a transparency rule for oil companies. Because I talked about a double standard a couple of moments ago because I'm smart enough to see one. I didn't fall off the cabbage wagon yesterday, and it's not here. Trump in limelight, SEC with foreign payments, overturned environmental rule for polluters, February 13th. So you know it's not that because it wasn't done yet. I'm looking at the Google search and news category, and it's not being reported.
Yeah, it was scheduled to be signed last night, and so I'm assuming it was signed. Yep. I wasn't standing in the room when it was signed. However, Bill Johnson, who I was with actually had dinner with last night, said he was going to the signing.
Yeah.
So that's why I knew it happened.
Well, see, I knew that because I'd seen this stuff start showing up on social media that, you know, that Trump just made it okay to dump waste into streams. I mean, you knew how we wrote that.
And
matter of fact, Snopes did a bit on it saying, no, that's not the case. So.
Yeah, that's not what the stream buffer rule actually does.
Right.
The stream buffer rule was it made an extremely large setback away from streams rather than just reclaiming and or diverting streams when work is being done, which is what you do now. Right. And in other words, it was a case where basically you could go nowhere near where a stream was, nor could you mine underground underneath any stream or river.
Right.
And that's, So.
The damage to the hydrological balance outside the permit area. love these documents. Hey, I'm sorry I kept you so long today, Mike, but I just enjoyed talking to you for one thing. Hey, before I let you go, two items. One is you had an opportunity to deliver a long overdue Bronze Star.
Yeah, we did. Let me tell you that I got real emotional when we did that for the Vietnam veterans. It was a Bronze Star with the V for Valor. That's not something you get for just hanging out in a war zone, okay? And whenever I heard the story of this man, this particular man is from O'Fallon. He was a St. Clair County Sheriff Deputy for and retired from that. But matter of fact, His medal was actually given to him in Vietnam. The day that he got it, he took it back to his, as referred to by Vietnam people who were over there, back to the hooch, and someone stole it. Hmm. And so all these years he hadn't had it, and we actually got him that and a few other, or several other medals that he had received. And when you do those, you know, there's some things in this job that are just, you're so happy that you are blessed to do it.
Right.
And when you can hand something like that to the hero for something that he deserved, and I don't have time to go into it, but basically he went into, there was a hot LC, a helicopter flipped, was on top of a guy. He went down into the hot zone, dug this person out from underneath the helicopter, and then actually carried him out. And it was an amazing feat what he did.
Yeah, makes me feel kind of funny about complaining the cheese was not on my cheese platter. You know what I mean? I mean, it gives you perspective, and I don't mean to be flippant. I mean this in the most serious way. That's the stuff that gives me real perspective on my problems in my life. So, Congressman Mike Boss.
In this case, the guy was so humble.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, yeah.
Have you noticed? That's almost you've noticed it. That's kind of, it's almost universal in that respect, you know?
They don't talk about it.
Yeah.
They say the real heroes are guys that make it home.
That's exactly right. Congressman Mike Boss. Mike, I'm sorry I took so much of your time, but I do appreciate every minute of it.
I really enjoy talking with you. All right.